Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
I'd like to really begin a new series called Winning God's Way. Can we have the title up? Winning God's Way. I don't think anybody likes to lose. Is there anybody in this room that likes to lose? I don't like to lose. I don't believe, particularly if you are born again and you have the Spirit of the living God in you, I don't believe that it's in your nature to lose. That's good news, not to lose. And I, you know, when I was younger, my brothers used to follow, at that time, was a winning football team. Currently, it's doing a bit better, but at that time, it was really doing well. And the team were called Nottingham Forest. You lack revelation. But, so they used to kind of, I quite like football. And I don't like playing, but I like watching. And I sometimes used to go with my brothers to see Nottingham Forest play. And on the times when they lost, it was unusually different the way people left the stadium. You know, when a team have lost, people walk up very quiet. They don't really say much and they grunt. You know, they're like, well, he didn't do too well today, you just hear a mumbling. It's like the sound coming out of losers is but if you win, the sound is completely different. And the way they left the stadium, the way we would leave if Nottingham Forest won, which they often did in those days. In fact, they're coming back. There's always a chance to come back. There's always a way. We would leave excited. We would leave. Come on. If we saw another supporter from the other team, we'd smile to them and say, come on, Forrest. You know, it was like competitive rejoicing that we'd won the game. And so I don't believe that in God's mind at all for you and for me is any plan to fail. And God knows the plans he has for us, and they don't include failure. Already I could just sit down and you could take that home. Because God never fails. And whatever is born of God overcomes the world. In other words, I think Pastor Andrew put it amazingly in the prayer meeting. Instead of down and out, you're up and over. Oh, that was brilliant. That's what he does. He brings us into a place where we win. Now, we may not get instant victories, but we will, and the intention of God is that we do win. It's the plan of God that we win. And winning God's way is such an important message for you and for me. In fact, I think, really, for the last year, I've been praying about certain things. Really praying about things that I've not seen much victory in. And it's bothered me. Because I know it's God's plan. But what's bothered me is I haven't known the way. So it's one thing to know God wants you to win, but it's another thing to find the way. God's way of winning. And so if the destination for your marriage, for example, is to win, finding the way will enable you to reach the destination. If it's sickness, then finding God's way, it's not always the same way. God's way is needed to be discovered, but the victory is already yours in Christ. And so I think this whole mindset of Christians, we need to be careful that we're not just walking around declaring victory without understanding there is a path that leads to that victory. It's so important, I think. And for me, I'm so stirred up in my personal life and really stirred up to see the body of Christ win, succeed, gain victories, overcome. I don't know, it's like I'm just trying to kind of get you a little bit happy about the theme of winning God's way. If you don't, I still will. Because it's so important to God that we're not looking like losers. One of those things that, you know, one of the kids do this. Loser. I hate that. Just give me a W. Winner. It's not whatever. It's winner. W means winner, not whatever. Because whatever isn't good enough for me. Winning is. And that's what my Heavenly Father wants for me and for you. So turn with me to 1 Samuel 22 and let's look at God's way this morning. Let's begin and embark on a journey of discovery of God's way to win. Amen. I believe we are in a new season as a church. We had, I would say, one of the most powerful prayer meetings we've ever had on Thursday night. It was phenomenal. It was God. And I believe from that prayer meeting, we've come into a new place because prayer releases the will of God and that we are really in a new dimension of winning and that it's time to win victories you haven't been winning. And those who believe that will enter it. It's time to win victories that we haven't been winning. So chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, King David had been anointed by Samuel to be king. And as of yet, Saul was still the king of Israel. But David went through a process of transformation and change personally. And God led him through this process until he actually entered into the place and position that God had for him. And that's really many of the things God says give us the destination point where God is going to bring us. But there is often the process towards that goal. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven works like that. It's like seed that is planted. And it doesn't immediately end up an oak tree. But it grows and develops until it becomes the full thing. And so David had been anointed king 14 years before he became, in reality, the ruler of Israel and of Judah. And David had this kind of relationship with Saul that didn't look very good because Saul was out to kill David. Saul had lost the kingdom, really, and the authority to lead and to be the king through rebellion and disobedience to the Lord. And Saul began this process of defeated living. And David actually became the goal of Saul to kill because often the flesh used by the enemy wants to destroy the Lord's anointed. That's kind of a norm for being spiritual and being anointed is that you get attacked. So David is on the run. In verse 1 we read, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or disconnected gathered around him. Discontented, gathered round him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. So David's found this cave, And whilst he's in this cave, these guys decide to join him. And these people, these men, are not the kind of army you and I would initially choose. They were failures. They probably weren't very good relationally. They probably weren't very good as fathers, as husbands. They definitely weren't good with finances. And that causes stress in marriages. And there was just lots of failure in these men that came to join David. And they were discontented. And generally that means they probably were blaming everybody else for their failure. Because that's the normal way of the flesh, is that you blame others. You blame the government. You blame the fact that there's racism. You blame the fact of your age. You blame the fact that you haven't got a brain that works in this particular way. You kind of end up discontented because it's all about what you haven't got and they've got it and you're just a bit frustrated. Anybody relate to that? And these guys, these 400, now that's a lot of discontented people. It's not one or two, it's a lot of people come in and they decide to join David. Now, can I say that we know they made an excellent choice? They chose the right man to follow. Because he was a winner. They were losing, but he was a winner. And so they left their independent lifestyle. Because when you're on your own without a leader that wins, you don't have the power to win yourself. And so they came out of independence and gathered around David. It's just a wonderful picture, really, of these 400 men coming together because of this one anointed leader. But for me, it's a picture of Jesus. Jesus is like a David in this picture. And we've gathered. We were failures. We were discontented. We were losers. We didn't beat the enemy because we couldn't. But we are gathered around the head. The body has a head and his name is Jesus. And Jesus is the victory. And the one who is able to bring us into victory. And David became their leader. Now, this also is a miracle. Because I totally believe in the plan of God that if we will give up leading our own lives, we have a possibility of the victory of God. It's when you and I go on our own way that actually it's down to us whether we win or lose. But if we go God's way, it's down to God. And he will always lead us in triumphant procession. And so they gathered around a giant killer. And if you want to change your circumstances, you've got to get around somebody who's winning. And so giant killer is what David was famous for. And they joined him and he became their leader. They decided they'd be followers. It's one of the greatest decisions of our lives is that we don't just make Jesus our Savior, but we confess him our Lord, which means he is the one we follow. We don't just have a meeting on a Sunday about Jesus, but we have a life where he is the one we're following. And there's a big difference. One is religious, because you can go to church and not be a follower of Jesus. But if you truly have confessed and made him your Lord and Savior, that means that you have become someone who is daily following somebody who is leading you. Now, to be led essentially means you've got to have a different heart attitude. You see, with God, with Jesus and us, we're not equal. We can't sit and chat with him on a level because he is God. He is Lord. So we don't sit and discuss. He actually is the one who leads. Okay, so if we get that, we actually get the beginnings of being led into victory. It's the start point. Some people come forward in a meeting and confess Jesus Lord, but they never do anything but pray. They actually don't follow him with their lives. And Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Because the Lord speaks. And what he says is what Jesus says calls you a disciple. A follower is somebody who is doing what Jesus says. That essentially is the definition of being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And we therefore have to give up our own way if we can follow him. Because the two ways often don't agree. I mean, case in point, Mongolia, I was always saying, not me, thanks Lord. The teams came back and said, ooh, the toilets, the hardship, the difficulties. And I was like, thank you Lord, I'm a pastor of a church, I don't need to go. And then one day the Lord said, you need to go. And I went, there are two ways here. Mine is saying I don't want to. He is saying I want you in Mongolia. And that choice has made me a disciple in a continuing process. Not just when I was 27 and I gave my life to Jesus. But my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. And so, Jesus, be my Lord every day. So these self-sufficient, self-made, self-led men who were failures came to David and said, you are our leader and we will follow you. And that essentially made them into an army. Jesus does not build with those who don't follow him. He builds with those who are with him. And so the church is built around Jesus, who is our leader. And we are following him. Thank you, Jesus. We're not following personalities. We're not following charisma. We're not following our likes and dislikes. I mean, to be in a cave is not the most attractive place to go. Case in point. One day we will have a nicer place. But for now, we're still following Jesus. And that's our choice. It's not based on where we are in St. Augustine's. It's based on our heart response to follow Jesus. So we see that we can't win without the right leader. And these guys, I want to tell you the good news. These failures became the mighty men of David. So they didn't stay failures, just looking at David for winning. David, being with David, changed them into being winners themselves. And they became mighty men who actually did so great exploits that they've gone down in the history books or in the eternal word of the living God. And I want I don't just want my name written in heaven. I want it to be known eternally, the works. Come on. I want my life story, the heavenly one that isn't ever going to be removed, to include mighty deeds. I don't want it to say, well, you know, they loved Jesus, never did anything, constantly failed, but praise God, they're going to glory. That is not my story. I want to be changed into somebody who knows how to do exploits and sees the power of God. Now, you see, you and I today, we're not self-made people, we're God-made. When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we become new creations. And that means we are God-made spiritually. The old has passed away. The failure has gone. The inability to succeed has gone. The old person is dead and a new person is alive. And that person is a winner. Thank you, Jesus. But then we have a process, even as a new creation, of being made into a disciple. And God often uses people, because that's his plan. He uses people to disciple us. Turn to somebody next to you and say, God uses people to shape my life. It's very important we understand that God doesn't just work one-on-one. He works by using other people to shape us, equip us, train us, and bring us into our destiny. So these guys were no longer disconnected from the anointing because they connected with David. They began to get connected with victory because they connected with David. And you and I, if we're connected with Jesus, we're connected with victory and anointing. Thank you, Jesus. So they began the change from defeat to victory by making the right connection. And living out of that connection of leadership. You see, when I get to heaven, it won't be telling Jesus what I did. He will say to me, were you faithful with what I asked you to do? So it won't be me making up my own plan and saying, but can't you see how good that was? It'll be God saying, this was my plan. You didn't do it. Or you did do it and welcome. You know, enter into the joy of your salvation, of the joy of the Lord. Now, Jesus spoke about this connection with him being the vine and we are the branches. He essentially said, without me, you can do nothing. So what he was saying was, the life we need on a daily basis, the victory we need on a daily basis comes from the vine and isn't self-produced by a branch. And so the source of our victory is Jesus and remaining connected to him and his word. Because if we're connected to Jesus and his word, then life flows to me and through me. If we see clearly that without him we can do nothing, then victory isn't just something that's handed over. It's given through relationship on a daily basis. You understand that? So for example, back to football. England play Germany in the World Cup. And it's already decided, let's say, England win 3-1. Sorry, guys. No problem, Anna Katrine says. So England win 3-1 and they don't even play. They just get handed the victory. That's not how the Christian life works. We know we're going to win, but we still got to play it. We still got to go through the steps towards getting the goals. Okay, so it's already written that we're going to win. We've already got the outcome, which is victory. But we still got to go through the process to winning. So these guys, losers, failures, make the right decision, leave their lives to follow David, and they come into a new leadership, a new type of leadership. And this leadership is spiritual. It's not carnal. It's not coming out of a brilliant man. Because brilliant men and women are not anointed unless they're filled with the Holy Spirit. But only the Holy Spirit is perfect. In verse 1 of chapter 23, let's look here. When David was told, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord answered him and said, go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said to him, here in Judah we're afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces? Once again David inquired of the Lord and said, the Lord answered and said, go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand. So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. So David hears about the failure or the loss of a city that he didn't come from or belong to. But he heard God's people were failing. And the enemy was stealing and looting, because that's the nature of the enemy. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And unless you belong to Jesus, he will have everything of yours. And so David looks with compassion and hears about this loss or this defeat. And I really believe that you and I need to constantly remain desiring to help others to win. In a position not just for personal victory, but actually seeing our friends, our work colleagues, the people we live around come to victory. And David had this, look, shall I go up? And he inquired of the Lord. Now, David didn't seek God to find out whether he wanted these people to win. It was already settled. That was not his point for inquiring of God. At no point do we need to inquire of God if he wants us to win. That's not why we pray. We don't ask, if it be your will, Lord. It's already settled. God wants us to be healed. He wants us living in favor. He actually is so good, he wants us blessed. And so to ask in this situation, David was not seeking God, is it your will they win? I could say out of everybody in this room, I don't have to pray whether it's God's will that you win. It absolutely is. It's not a matter of if. So that is not why David's praying. I think a lot of Christians spend their lives praying if, rather than, Lord, I know you want them to win. I know you want this person healed. I know you want favor on my life. I know having no money is not your will. I know not having a job is not your will. I don't even have to pray, do you want me to work? I know you do. There are certain things that you don't have to pray about. And so it's a foundation in David's life that it is God's will that they come to victory. But what was the key to David's success? And it's so simple. He inquired of the Lord, shall I go up and take them out? Will you give them into my hands? Now David is really good with a sling. Okay? David was able to deal with Goliath. And whilst the Israelites were singing, David has slain his 10,000, Saul his thousands. So everybody recognized David was a greater warrior than anyone else. David still did not assume it was his job to go. See, I believe that once we've won some victories in our lives, what's very dangerous is that we just assume we'll get it anyway and go. So many people come into defeat because they didn't do it by inquiring of the Lord. They did it because they assumed it. And the greatest point of failure is at that point where you didn't ask the Lord, shall I go up and do it? I bet David was thinking, well, maybe Saul will go and take them out. Is it my job or is it Saul's, or are you going to send someone else? Because actually, I'm not here to direct the war. Jesus himself directs where we go and what we do. I can't tell you how important this message is. Because I know repeated issues, things that you pray about, the things that have been going on a long time. The key is to inquire of God. I know you want us to win, but Lord, is this how you want us to do it? Is this the way? Do you want us to go up? And without that tiny little one sentence prayer, this is not hours of praying. It's quite short, but it reveals David's humility. From being somebody who'd been bigged up in the nation as a great warrior, he bowed before God before he went into any battle. And he humbled himself and became like a child. And this is what Jesus says about us, that unless we become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And a child, David became childlike, because what he did was saying, Lord, I don't know, you know. And I can't unless you're leading me. But if you lead me, I definitely can do it. Because I know whatever you lead me into is going to win. I'm going to get the victory in that leadership. Say leadership. Leadership. See, if you're led out of your assumptions, you will lose. If I'm led by assuming that God has definitely called me to do that, then I will lose. But if I will pray and inquire of the Lord. I love those words. You see, it's so easy to bring the Christian life down to formula. It's so easy to confess the promises and not get involved with the process. Because the process is out of relationship with Jesus on how to see the promise happen. I'm wanting to encourage you this morning because I really have it on my heart. It's time to win. But the way, you must change your way if you're going to win. And that way begins with, Lord, do you want me to? Is this your will? Is this what you have for me to do? Man lives, Jesus said, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That suggests to me is that God is always speaking. We know his word is written, but his word written is what the Holy Spirit takes and speaks to us. And what he speaks to us through his word is the word that will win. And so David is saying, I will not go into battle without a word. I won't move out without you saying, move out. Thank you, Jesus. Because this is the secret of winning. It isn't just having your weapons. Because the word always is powerful. It isn't just having, one victory you did get, and at the same point you try and use the same weapon. It's about hearing the Lord. David did not get up and say, let's distribute slings to every one of the 400 men. Because this is what we do as Christians. Can I just be honest with you? Well, it worked last time. Let's give it a go. So everybody get a sling. That's the key. I heard it on God TV. Get a sling. It's going to work. Everybody. And so they didn't go out with this. And once again, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Once again, we can initiate something that it has its roots in the flesh and not in Jesus. And when what we do is originated in Jesus and what he is saying, from that word will come faith. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so, if anybody's losing, if you are failing, what you need is a word. And you need to seek God. You and I need to seek God for a word. Jesus was the perfect example of this. Obviously, never was defeated except at his choice to submit his life to the cross, to sin and to the enemy. But Jesus never lost anything. And his key, being the word that created all things, being God, his key is found in John 5:19. I don't do anything of myself. I only do. Say only do. Ah, may the Lord bring us to that place where we only do what we see the Father doing, what God is leading us into. And Jesus only did what the Father showed him to do. I've known people decide on who they're going to marry and tell God this is the one. And if they push it that hard, it will end up an absolute mess. Because God's choice is the one that works. I've known people start out on a course of action that really was from their own thinking. And then they say, Jesus, bless what I'm doing. And it's like, well, I'm not here to bless what you're doing. I'm here to bless what I told you to do. And so we need to back up before we can move out in victory. And the backing up point is do only what he says to do. Only what he says. And David found out through prayer. Yesterday I was looking through Mark 9 and Matthew 17 about the disciples' failure to deliver this boy from his sickness, probably epilepsy. You know how Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration? He came down and the Father said to Jesus, they couldn't do it. And the disciples, when they spoke to Jesus later, says, why couldn't we do it? And so we see what I would consider to be one of the saddest moments in their lives. They'd seen victory. They'd seen people healed, demons cast out of people. But at this point, they'd failed. Don't you ask the question, why didn't they win this time? And Jesus said the solution, of course, is faith. But faith is only found in someone who is seeking to hear God. And so he says, you need faith, but actually what you need to do first is pray. Because prayer connects you with me. And I'm able to speak to you and give you the faith that will drive out and defeat every demon and mountain. I totally believe a word from God is the solution for every problem. Because no word that comes out of his mouth returns empty, but every word accomplishes what it's been sent to do. And the running around in panic, having conversations with 50 other believers, is the most confusing and unbelief-inspiring thing you could do. But seeking Jesus in the secret place. Can I say secret place? On your own with God and saying, Lord, shall I? Do you want me to? And the word comes back. Yeah, do it. David gets the word. I just think this is amazing. Then he goes and tells the men. God said, go up. And the men are still inactivated through failure. And they say, we can't win here in Judah. What makes you think we can win against the Philistines? So these guys are still losers and still speaking about losing. Their fear has brought them into doing nothing. See, a person of faith will be ready to move at his command. A person of fear will always make excuses and do nothing and live in passivity. Faith is not passive. It is seeking God, ready to go and bring victory at any point of your life and any point where you're presented with someone who needs victory. So David hears his men say, we're definitely not going, we're too scared. Now, the kingdom of heaven's rule and winning does not come through majority vote. I thought that was pretty appropriate this week. Because it's not majority vote that decides for the church. The majority vote was, we're definitely not going to be able to win. The only thing to do is what Jesus says. So David goes back to the Lord. Fortunately, he wasn't led by the majority. May God raise up all over this nation leaders who will not be led by the majority and by opinions. And may God give us grace here as leaders to not be led because people say so. David sought the Lord again, and the Lord said, go up, I'm certainly going to give you the victory. And the men actually obeyed. It must have been raw obedience for those guys. Okay, let's just do it. We don't feel good about this, but David sought the Lord again, and it's a big yes from heaven. Go and get the victory. I don't think I've had such a year of people trying to push me into their projects as I have this last year. And I had a fantastic email this week from one of the faith group leaders. And they thanked me and just said, we're so thankful at Kingdom Faith Southwest that we don't give our money to everything and every cause and spread thinly, but that actually we concentrate on what God has called us to do and actually get on with the business of his will. And I was so encouraged because I've had so much hassle from people wanting us to do what they're doing. That doesn't make what they're doing wrong. It just means it's wrong for me and for us. As a Christian, you cannot spread yourself too thinly. You need to do in the context of the body you're called to and the vision. Remember, God works through leaders. The things that God puts on the heart of the leader and on your heart, running in the same direction. I have been criticized. I have been slandered for doing what God has told me to do. I am not the most popular person But my popularity must not be scored on earth. If I get 0 out of 10 on earth, as long as I've got 10 out of 10 in heaven, I'm all right. And so it takes the pressure off when your family say, I don't think you should do that. Because if we go by majority vote, then we're consulting the flesh about the will of God. And it could all go wrong from that point. People who seek advice from and counsel because they don't hear what they want go from one church to another, from one thing to another. But if you stick with where God has put you and with whom he's put you, you will get what you need because God will make sure you'll get it. And so we must understand we're not here to do people's will. We're not here to do our own will. We're here to do the will of him who sent us and to finish his work. That feeds us more than the pleasure of getting man's applause. It feeds my spirit to say, actually, we're concentrating on this and we won't be. We're glad you're doing that. Thank God for what he's called other churches in this town and this region to do. We thank God because we cannot all do the same thing. Otherwise, we'd all be lumped around Peterborough or London together, all doing the same thing. But we're not. We're a diverse body. But the parts of the body that are joined together to be an army together must work with one heart, one mind on the same thing, and that will bring the victory. And so for you, what does this mean? It means God has planned victory for you. But it means that you mustn't assume the way you got the victory a year ago is the way you'll get it now. I've got this comment here. I spoke it out this morning. I thought, I think I need that up. Victory is assured. The way can't be assumed. Victory is assured for your life if you follow Jesus. But the way cannot be assumed. So in other words, you can't bring the pattern of an old move of God into this one. You can't deal with business world in the way you used to. Your children need a word from God today, not just 5 years ago. One of the best testimonies I heard from parents, this couple who could, their child was so rebellious, they didn't know what to do with this little girl. She looked beautiful. You know how often they, ooh, cutie, cutie, but inside is like, ooh. And she fought school, she fought authority, in fact, I remember we went round there, we were ministering up there in that part of the nation in the northwest. And she said, what did she say? Something about Satan. I like Satan or something. She was that. She was just, you know, I'm like difficult to live with in the home and at school. And don't say you weren't. I think I was too. Until Jesus made me into a different person. But this little girl, she was causing a lot of trouble. And the parents had tried everything. And you see, the thing is, often God waits for us to try everything till we get to the end of ourselves. And well, I've tried, psychology, I've tried the doctors, I've tried this. Jesus says, try me. And so they get before God as a couple. They pray, and I'm like, there's the beginning. They're getting connected to the source of the victory for their little girl. And he told them to pray specifically for something. And the Lord said, I want you to pray that she will have a teachable heart. And so they decided whenever they prayed for their little girl, they'd pray, Lord, we ask you give her a teachable heart. Reports start coming back from school. Her behavior in class has completely changed. They started to win And the girl became an example to many by her attitudes, because the parents heard God about the way to victory. I mean, I totally believe that we're here to be dependent on Jesus and not the world system. Jesus is your solution. It isn't how many books you can read and how many programs you can watch on God TV. Can I just put that one out there? I love God TV. But quite honestly, we've got a lot of people who've got a lot of knowledge and are not inquiring of the Lord about anything. And therefore are not winning. God will never allow a preacher to replace your secret place. He will never allow your favorite minister, Joyce Meyer, I don't know who, to be the only way of reaching you. He covets a place where you hear God one-on-one and you develop your relationship with Jesus. That is the secret of David's victory. Amen. And that is what caused him to go out and defeat this city and see an amazing victory. Excuse me. So what does God want for us today? He wants us to know that if we've won before, it won't happen the same way. How will I get the victory over this cough? It may not be water. It might just be time. But there is a way to victory. And essentially this means we're depending on Jesus. And he's the way. He's the only way. No matter what the doctors say, Jesus is the way. And if you relegate your life to formula, you will have an empty Christian life. And you will become someone who just knows about God, but doesn't live in the reality of life with Jesus. Praise God.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.